I want you to look with me now in Luke chapter 24. If you're familiar with the chapter content of the New Testament, you reach the higher number chapters in the Gospels and you realize that is at the end of Christ's public ministry. In chapter 24, I guess starting around verse 13, we have the story of what took place on what is called the Emmaus Road. On the Emmaus Road, there were men who were walking. And Christ, on the day of his resurrection, caught up with them while they were walking. Look with me in 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. I don't know that I did the math recently on this, but I think that's almost 7 miles. Someone will probably check the Google and find out, or Mark will text me and say you're right or wrong. But I think that's about 7 miles or so. And they talked together of all these things that which had happened. The things to which they're making reference, obviously, is the scenario or the incidents around the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it came to pass, 15, it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Note carefully, these would be people who would know him. In fact, in a few moments when I get there in reading, they are going to know who he is. But at this point, the Bible says in 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, now mind you, their eyes are holden. So to them, he's a stranger. And he says, 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, total stranger to them. And then he says this, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The sentence doesn't end at the end of the verse, it continues in 26, and it says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. These disciples on the Emmaus Road were just, if you will, scolded by Christ in that moment. And he says to them, you're a fool. Your heart is slow to believe what the prophet said. And then he starts these words, ought not Christ. Ought not is the idea of saying because of the position of who Jesus is as Christ. Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, Christos, the Son of God, the one who would come. Because of that, ought not he to have suffered? Yes, because he was the Christ. It was his duty to suffer. This is what the prophet said would happen. And there they are struggling with their faith, leaving from Jerusalem, headed to Emmaus, unsure of everything that's going on, yet not accepting fully the reports of those that had been to the tomb and said he's not here. And yet they saying, we're not seeing him. We're not sure what's going on. And Christ said, oh, you're slow to believe. And it would be so easy to scold these guys. But we are the same. At times we neglect what the very Word of God says. And slow to believe that. And verse 27. Now you talk about a Sunday school lesson. Look at this. And beginning at Moses, what does that mean? That is a metaphor that represents the first five books of the Old Testament. It was a common way to refer, instead of saying Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, or some might say the Pentateuch, five books that make up the beginning, was often to say Moses. Amen. To represent that era. And sometimes you would say Moses and the prophets, and that would cover all. Notice what he said. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Amen. Can you imagine what that would have been like? And they're walking along with Jesus and they're going 7 miles or so. And as they're going along, he's telling them and this about Moses and this about the prophets and this about who he was and every verse that applied to him in the Old Testament. And I'm sure their minds are just blown. In 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, meaning they're arriving to the edge of town there and they're constraining him to come to the house. And he said, well, I'm going to go further, 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now, this has been a big day for Jesus. He rises from the dead. Take a 7.5 mile walk. Amen. Appear before many witnesses. Amen. And then watch what happens. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Amen. And their eyes were opened. Amen. And they knew him. Amen. And he vanished out of their sight. All of the teaching that he did, they didn't get it. But when they saw his hands and when they saw him break bread and they heard him offer a blessing on that which he gave them, they said, I know those hands. I know who that is. That's Christ. And he was gone. Now notice these next verses, because all of this is just introductory. I don't have to start preaching until 8:12 and I finish at 8:15, so... Their eyes were open, 31, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, watch these words, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scripture? And they arose up the same hour and went back to Jerusalem. And who were there? The 11. The 11 were gathered there, gathered together, and them that were with them. This, if you take this reference of verse 23, 24, 33, and you just made note that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, you'll get an idea of how big the church was that Christ had gathered while he was here on earth. Because Acts 1:15 says the number of the roll, the number of the names of them on the roll of the church was 120. So we see the 11. Plus, we know that the greater number in just a few days is going to be 120 of them. So recognizing that, it says in 33, they found the 11 gathered together. We know it's 11, not 12, because Judas has hung himself. And in chapter 1, they'll cast lots to draw the new apostle. And notice what it says in 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Well, these were the doubters just a few verses ago. Christ said, slow of heart to believe, fool. Then when they saw him break the bread and bless it, they recognized him. Amen. They said, he's alive, he's risen. I wonder how long it took them to make that 7.5 mile journey back to Jerusalem. And they told, saying, the Lord is risen indeed in 34 and hath appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Wow. Huh? I mean, the 11 are there. There are others that are gathered. These disciples who were in Emmaus made the journey back, found the brethren gathered there, said he's alive, and all of a sudden, look who showed up. Christ did himself. The first words he says to them in this collective gathering, this assembly, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said to them, why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands. What would be on his hands that they would recognize him? What would be on his hands? Nail prints. Behold, and my feet. What would be on his feet? Nail prints. That it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Amen. And when they had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them, demonstrating, I'm not a ghost. Amen. I'm not a spirit. I have a resurrected body. We will eat in heaven, kids. That's all I'm going to say. 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I imagine as long as they lived, they never forgot that night. When Jesus took what they didn't understand and helped them to understand. Have you ever been in a situation where you're in that learning mode and you're not getting it, and all of a sudden the moment where the teacher finally connects with the cranium space that you have and you get it, and it's like the light goes on, he's like, I got it! That was their moment. They got it. Amen. In verse 46, he said unto them, thus it is written. Those are not filler words. Amen. If you realize the significance of a couple thousand years of human history, amen, before the arrival of Christ, amen, you then have to grasp that this is what God said would happen, and it happened. Thousands of years before Christ even appeared, the plan of God was at work. Thus it is written. Notice further. And thus it behooved Christ to suffer. Amen. The idea of, we hardly use this word behooved, but I want you to understand that it's something that was necessary. Amen. It is something that is proper. Right. It is something that is advantageous. It was absolutely necessary. It was absolutely proper that Christ would suffer. Why? Because without his death, we would have no life. Without his suffering, we would only know suffering. And he, Christ, became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is what Christ did. This is the benefit that we found. It behooved Christ to suffer. It was necessary for him to suffer. Without his suffering, there is no eternal life. And as he expounded these things in their hearing, he said it was not only behooving to Christ to suffer, it was behooving for him to rise from the dead the third day, affirming once again that he rose again, and it was he who was speaking. Continuing in the grammar of verse 46, it behooved Christ to what? To the preposition, to suffer. It behooved Christ to rise from the dead, 47, don't let the verse break throw off your grammar. It also behooved Christ that repentance and remission of sins be preached. What's those next 30 words?
Amen.
What are they? In His name?
Amen.
The same name that Solomon stood to pray before the altar and finished his prayer on his knees with his hands toward God, and in that stated that the stranger should absolutely know and that all the ends of the earth would know. What? His name. And now he said, it was absolutely necessary that my name be taken just as it was behooving that I suffer and behooving that I die and behooving that I rise again. It is also necessary
Amen.
That you preach this message in my name.
Right.
Why are we sending Brother Gerso to Haiti? You hadn't been bad, had you? No, so we know it's not that. Why are we sending him? Because he knows the name which is above every name. He knows that name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And we're saying to you, sir, with all of your being, take that name and preach the message in his name. There is no other salvation in any other than the name that has been given among men, whereby we must be saved. Take the name of Jesus with you. That's your job.
Amen.
This was necessary.
Amen.
It behooved Christ to suffer. Three things. Now that I've gotten 8:12, I can go ahead and preach. But I won't end at 8:15.
Amen.
I want you to see tonight these three simple thoughts. Number one, it behooved Christ to suffer.
Amen.
Had he not suffered, I would have never known healing. Had he not suffered, I would have never known grace. Had he not suffered, I would have never known the forgiveness of sin. Had he not suffered by the death of the crucifixion and became sin for us, had he not taken the curse, had he not taken the shame, had he not taken the guilt, had he not become propitiation. What in the world is a propitiation? It's a beautiful Bible word that means that he, as a qualified substitute, the only qualified substitute to stand in for mankind who could appease the wrath or satisfy the wrath of God, he said, I'll stand in for all of humanity. Oh, the children of Israel had known a sacrificial system without a doubt. They had heard about a lamb that could be sacrificed for a family. They had learned about a lamb that could be sacrificed for a man, for a family, even for a tribe. And yes, even for a nation. But on the day that Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, John the Baptist announced his arrival and said, behold, the Lamb of God. For a man, greater. For a family, greater. For a nation, greater. For a tribe, greater. This was the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. God sent his own Lamb for a sacrifice. It was necessary that he suffer. It was necessary that he died.
Amen.
Why? That's how we get salvation.
Amen.
There's no joy in his suffering. There is no joy in his death. There is joy in his resurrection. And with that joy, we realize it behooved Christ to suffer.
Amen.
Scripture dictated he would suffer. Scripture said there would be a sacrifice. Scripture said it would take blood. Scripture said that man would need a substitute who was qualified. Scripture said there would be a resurrection. The Bible foretold this. Christ told them during his ministry. Moses told him in his writing. The prophets told him. Those poetic writers in the book of Psalms spoke of his resurrection, spoke of his death.
Amen.
And they're like, oh, dude, I didn't get that. Now I got it.
Amen.
And it changed their world. And what if you get it?
Amen.
Number one, it behooved Christ to suffer. Number two, it behooves Christians to speak.
Amen.
Notice what it says in 47. And that, the qualifiers going all the way back to 46, it behooved Christ to suffer. It behooved Christ to die. It behooved Christ to rise again. It behooves us to take that message, verse 47. Two great Bible words. One is repentance. The other is remission. I need human illustrations. Put your Bible down, come help me. You hadn't had your opportunity yet, have you? What's your name?
Justin.
Still is, huh, Justin? My hand's out in America when we extend the hand. Then the other guy extends his hand, and then we're good. And then if guys hug, it's a two pat on the back and let go. That's how it works. Okay, that's the rule. Little guy code stuff going on. Justin, repentance. I'm going to show you. You going to help me? I like working with little kids. They're a little easier. Not saying you're a little kid. It's just that's your direction right there. You see that? We're headed to the thingy there. We're headed there. Keep going. Justin, turn around. Come to me. That's repentance.
Amen.
He heard the call and he changed his direction. It behooves us as Christians to speak of repentance, to say to sinners, turn around, turn around,
Amen.
Change your direction, turn from sin.
Amen.
I just don't want to offend anybody. I imagine there are people in hell tonight who wished someone
Amen.
Offended them. Okay, repentance. Do you know what remission means? It's okay, I'm going to tell you. Don't be nervous. I saw this glaze come over your eyes. Dear God, please let the rapture come in this moment. Do not let me have to answer this question. Let's say you owe me $100. It's a good day. Do you have $100 on you?
No.
Not with you. The offering's promising tomorrow. That $100 that you owe me, that means you have a debt. Christ said, it behooves this message be spoken. What message? Repentance
Amen.
And remission. Well, what does remission mean? You know that $100 you owe me? I am canceling that debt. It no longer exists. What do you say? You're welcome. Go sit down. That's what Christ wants us to speak.
Amen.
Take this message and speak it. Repentance. Change direction, remission, debts canceled. How can you have a debt canceled? When you have a qualified substitute to pay the bill for you, the debt gets canceled.
Amen.
You say, well, why? Why would people in Haiti still worship false gods? Why in Haiti would they turn to Satanism? Why would they turn to witch doctors? Why would they pursue these things? Because their minds are blinded. Brother Matt taught your kids that in school today at chapel time, that their minds are blinded. They cannot believe. The light of the glorious gospel is foreign to them. That's why in His name
Amen.
We preach this message. It behooves us to do that.
Amen.
Whose job is it to bring the gospel to Haiti? You say, well, Brother O'Malley, there's always a trick question with you. Whose job is it? Well, it's the missionaries. It's every Christian's job to get the gospel everywhere around the world. We do this through our church. And then we find delegates who are willing to go to Haiti. How many of you are willing to go to Haiti in the morning for the rest of your life? Put your hand up. Put your hand up. Good call. You are too? Well, one of the Howard kids is willing to go with you. Depends if he's been good or bad tonight. We're not sure. Maybe mom will send him. You're called to go there. And since very few of y'all raised your hand, and he's willing to go.
Amen.
It behooved Christ to suffer. It behooves us to speak. Number three, it behooves us to send.
Amen.
To where are we sending? That the repentance and remission of sins be preached where? Sorry, 54 years old and my voice changes tonight of all nights. You be nice to me. Okay. The message of repentance and remission of sins be preached where, according to that verse? All nations.
Amen.
What does he want known? Tell them my name. My name is the name above every name. My name will deliver. My name will save. It behooves us to speak. It behooved Christ to suffer. It behooves us to send. How are we going to get the message of his name to all of these nations? We need help. I asked a moment ago, how many of you are willing to go to Haiti? And apart from the young Howard son, which I'm not sure he thought he was volunteering for. Yes, and you too. We've got two kids willing to go with you. It then behooves us to consider, do we send this guy? Who is willing to stop everything in their life and go to Cambodia? Yes, Nikki is. I don't know about Matt, but Nikki. It's like... Who drives the struggle bus tonight? Me. You're missionaries there. You're supposed to raise your hand, all right? Just for giggles. Who's willing to reach the Arabic-speaking people of Philadelphia? Yes!
Amen.
And since we have delegates who will go, it behooves us to send them.
Amen.
Why? This is the message Christ is giving on the night of his resurrection. Don't keep this thing to yourself. Publish glad tidings.
Amen.
Tell the world.
Right.
There is a risen Lamb who was sacrificed for the world and now is risen. And in just days ahead, will turn the whole operation over to this church he has started and will ascend to his Father and he'll send the Comforter.
Amen.
And all he wanted them to do was... take my name.
Amen.
Go preach my message.
Glory,
it behooves us to speak of Christ.
Right.
It behooves us to send. There is no question Christ effectively did his job.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Are you effectively taking what Christ asked you to do and saying, he's pleased with what I'm doing? This is where I want to make sure that my mind is committed to the mission of God and my heart is committed to the mission of God and my wallet is committed to the mission of God and every aspect of my life is committed to the mission of God. Why? Because on the night of his resurrection, he said, go out there and tell everybody this.
Right.
Best news ever.
Amen.
You don't have to die and go to hell. The debt is canceled. Turn from your sin.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
To behoove is to find it necessary to do.
Right.
Have you found it necessary to speak of his name today? I just don't want my money to do my talking. Do you know what I mean when I say that? It's a bit of a metaphor to have your money talk. We know literally money does not speak. But if I just only give and never speak, all I've done is salved my conscience. It behooves us to send missionaries.
Amen.
Just for instance, if you, Brother Matt, if you were to buy a ticket to go to Cambodia, for a family of several, How much does that cost? On average. I mean, not like super shopper saver, but just like... $3,000 or $4,000. Wow. That's first class, right? No? That's under the baggage compartment, right? They're willing to go.
Amen.
If I wanted to rent a building for a church, how much would I have to pay?
$500 a month.
And if I wanted to rent a house for my family, how much would I have to pay? If I wanted to feed my kids, how much would that... I mean, not y'all rationed the cupcakes to your kids. I still got to talk to you about that. If you have to feed your family, how much does that take? How much?
$300 a month.
That doesn't even get the first message preached. Then you have to learn the language. Then you have to make a lot of mistakes in the culture. And you got to have a few robberies along the way and losses of passports and motorcycles and these kind of things all along the way. See, when he hadn't even opened his mouth to preach. But I'm going to tell you something. The day someone turns away from false idols because Matt and Nikki were there and said, repent, the debt's canceled. And somebody says, what? The debt is canceled. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to go to your gods and offer up rice or sacrifices or anything. All that's been paid. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Glory to God. Amen.
It behooves us to send Josh and Joanna to Philadelphia to speak the gospel in Arabic.
Amen.
It behooves us to send Brother Grosso to Haiti.
Amen.
Because he can communicate in Creole the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It behooves us to send. It behooves us to speak.
Right.
And all because it behooved Christ to suffer.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? The last three words of verse 47 said, you'd start at Jerusalem. Here's your home. It behooves you to get the message out.